It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. Every Thursday, we have this opportunity here through your Quinebay Communications to bring you Lincoln County Connections. On the program today, Samantha Schaefer, she is a health education specialist with our Health and Human Services Department. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Casey.
I appreciate you coming in today, and in just a moment, we will talk to her about tobacco prevention and education, the work that she does through Lincoln County Health and Human Services. Specifically, we are going to get into the Indoor Clean Air Act, some changes that are happening now or already have happened,
right.
So we want to bring everybody up to date. Before we get started with her, I did want to take your attention to what's new. It's a section on Lincoln County's website where we have sort of the latest news, and if you click View All there, you'll see a lot of news that's coming out of Lincoln County, but there's just a few highlights up there. And one of them is new regulations for the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act. So the information that Samantha and I will be discussing today is available to you there, plus her contact information. Of course, you can follow that link into Health and Human Services and find more details about tobacco prevention and the work that's being done there. Also, the proposed Siletz Area Enhancement Law Enforcement District, there's information about that process that the Board of Commissioners are going through with those residents out in the Siletz area. There's some more details there, some things that are going to be coming up. The Health Council is seeking new volunteers, and we have information and applications available there. It's also school-based healthcare awareness month, and I know that other individuals from Health and Human Services will be coming in later this month to provide a proclamation about school-based health care centers, which we have, and there's information there. And finally, a new information sheet about western water hemlock, a plant. This comes from our Vegetation Management Division or section of Public Works, and we identify that particular plant, which can be troublesome, for example, say if your pets or livestock eat. But without further ado, let's get started with Sam Schaefer, health education specialist. So, Sam, your work in tobacco prevention, could you just kind of give us an overview of what you do for HHS?
Sure. So what I do is really anything surrounding tobacco prevention. So that means the policies through the school district I've helped with, or anything really surrounding property management or ownership. I work a lot with those folks. I work a lot with business owners and, of course, working with them with the Indoor Clean Air Act and making sure that they're complying, or if they want to extend that out from 10 feet to 25 feet, or if they want to go completely smoke-free. I do a lot around tobacco-free areas, so that's comprehensive. That means the entire property would be tobacco-free, so no smoking of any kind, no chewing tobacco, no vaping, etc. So really anything policy-related to tobacco, that's what I work on.
Yeah, and maybe could you just give us sort of the 20,000 foot view of, you know, the general problem or challenge with tobacco use and, you know, its implications on health of people and why we put the special emphasis here. I mean, it really does cause some health problems. I mean, I think
sure.
Everybody knows it, but give us the 411.
Definitely. So again, like you said, I think many people know that using tobacco, there are a lot of health risks. You know, we know poor circulation. We know that there's cancer risk. There's diabetes risk. There's hypertension. I mean, there are tons of different health aspects. But one thing we really like to focus on in tobacco prevention is the youth initiation piece. We know that 90% of people who smoke will actually start before the age of 18. The tobacco industry also knows this.
Yeah.
And so they really prey on youth to become their replacement smokers. And so much of what we do in tobacco prevention, although it is for the health of all of our community members, a big piece is, you know, reducing social norms of smoking tobacco, any form of tobacco, really, as well as really protecting our youth from starting in the first place.
So. And Sam, can you also make a comment on, you know, the second or possibly third-hand smoke mm-hmm. issue? Because really it affects others, and, you know, how is it that happens? It's from the smoke, it's from the residue?
So it's from the smoke and the residue. So we have secondhand smoke, so that's if someone is smoking near you and you're breathing in that smoke. So essentially you're getting the exact same chemicals that they're getting into their body.
Yeah.
Which is why you see a lot of lung cancer patients and that sort of thing who are like, I've never smoked cigarettes, but I have this because, you know, I lived with a smoker, I have friends
right.
who smoke, etc. And then the third hand piece is really the residue. So when you smoke, there are a lot of chemicals in those smokes. And also we're finding now in the vapors and, you know, they stick to walls, they stick to clothing, that sort of thing. And so, you know, if you move into a new rental and someone has smoked within that rental, a lot of times you see that residue on the wall and you're still breathing that in.
Yeah.
Because those chemicals are still there.
Right.
They're still present.
They stick around.
They stick around. They do. They're kind of pesky.
Well, we're talking to Samantha Schaefer. She is a tobacco prevention and education specialist working with that program. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Casey, Lincoln County's public information officer. Quick reminder, we're going to move into the Indoor Clean Air Act information. That information is in Lincoln County Health and Human Services section of Lincoln County's website. There's also a link about the new regulations on the county homepage. Samantha Schaefer, health education specialist. Sam, so let's just dive right into it. What are the changes?
All right. So just to give you a little history, this law actually came into effect in 2009. And at the mm-hmm. time, it simply stated any space or establishment that had employees was a workspace. And that workspace needed to have a 10-foot restriction on smoking from any window, door, air intake, and then later we added accessibility ramp, and we had a whole host of exceptions to this rule. So in 2015, in the legislative session, we decided to attack it again and add a few new things because we've seen a lot of new products. So because of those new products, we've added, the biggest change is adding inhalant delivery devices to the law. And what I mean by inhalant delivery devices is anything that produces an aerosol or a vapor.
Mm.
So you not only have now the smoking restriction, but you also have anything that produces an aerosol or vapor. And what I mean by that is any electronic cigarettes, electronic hookahs, anything that you can smoke nicotine or cannabinoids in. So any of the hash oils, now that marijuana is legal,
right.
I mean, it can't be smoked in public anyway, but it's just another way to cover that.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece. We also took away all the exceptions, so that was huge. So cigar bars can no longer do sampling. Electronic cigarette retail outlets can no longer do sampling, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big change. And then the third change was we changed what an enclosed space was. Before it was anything that had three walls and a roof. Now it's anything with two walls and a roof or a variation of three sides, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So we really tightened down on this law.
So, you know, I remember going back to 2009, it was really a big cultural shift, and there was a lot of anxiety around it. And it seemed to me that overall it was a lot smoother transition than, you know, everybody expected.
Right.
A business did not really go down, at least the people that I've talked to, which was great because a lot of those concerns were there and seemed to have been minimal impact. So, Sam, help me understand. You know, I've seen the vaping advertising all over. It seems to be really in right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, were we seeing people just vaping indoors? It's not smoking, but we don't really know anything about these
right,
devices.
Right, right. You know? So electronic devices or these vaping devices, as you're talking about, Casey, they've been around since about 2007. We really saw a boom in 2010 in the United States with them, and they aren't regulated. So our tobacco products, we have very strict regulations. That's why you don't see ads. That's why, you know, you're not allowed to smoke in public places for the most part. And so when these devices came on scene, all of a sudden we saw this resurgence of people smoking what looked like, you know, these traditional tobacco products that we had seen all over again, because they aren't restricted on the federal level. And by not restricted, I mean not only can you smoke them in public places according to the federal laws, but you can also sell them to anyone.
Mm.
And that means my three-year-old could walk into a store that sold them and buy them. So anyone can sell them, anyone can buy them, and anyone can create them, too. So we don't have ingredient lists like we do on typical tobacco products. And so it's kind of the Wild West out there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any idea why we we look later for the implications and and let everything go in the beginning instead of it being reversed. Like, I'm just curious, is it the same in Europe? Like, was vape free, you know, Wild Wild West too there when it came out?
Or? So it actually was. It actually originally came out in China, and it just kind of all of a sudden became the thing to create. And everyone was kind of dabbling in this, and then they started seeing different implications and start seeing different restrictions, just like in the United States, which is, again, why we decided to go after our Indoor Clean Air Act and say, you know, let's be safer than sorry on this and kind of be proactive, even though we only have preliminary studies. What we're seeing is we are seeing a lot of the same chemicals as what we consider traditional tobacco. And so why don't we protect our community members, protect our youth, and then as we learn more, we can kind of decide, you know, do we take this restriction out or do we stick with it?
Yeah. So. It's interesting because just thinking about it now for the first time, I mean, if the particulates were still in the vape, it would stand to reason that they would be exhaled, some of it, too.
Exactly.
So Samantha Schaefer, tobacco prevention and education program. We'll be back in just a moment on Connections to talk more about the Clean Indoor Air Act.
Lincoln County Connections is back on KNPT, KBCH, and KWDP.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. So we're talking about the Indoor Clean Air Act. We've got Samantha Schaefer from Health and Human Services with us today. I think we talked about the changes, Samantha, and maybe we've started to chip away a little bit about why. But let's dig more into that. Why?
Sure. Okay. So, you know, we're talking a lot about potential harm and kind of being proactive. And so really that's part of why we did it was we don't know the potential harm of these different products. Mm-hmm. We're just doing preliminary studies on them. And, again, anyone can create them. So we have just a huge variation of products out there. So it's really to protect our community members from the potential harm.
Talk about maybe what some of those implications might be. I mean, what are we seeing so far?
Sure. So there are a couple studies out there that have shown very similar chemicals in these vaping devices as combustible cigarettes. So we see things like formaldehyde. We see things like heavy metals. We see, of course, in lesser amounts, which is great.
Yeah.
But one thing we like to say is, you know, just because there's harm reduction there doesn't mean it's harmless.
Yeah.
And so until we can dive more into what these products really are, what's in them, how people are creating them, we don't know what the harm is there to the full extent. And so we really want to protect our communities.
Yeah.
And so by adding that into the Indoor Clean Air Act, we feel like we're doing that, at least in a small way.
And really the innocent bystander, too, you know, the stories I've heard before, like someone who grew up, say, they're not a smoker, never have been a smoker, mm-hmm. but maybe their parents smoked in the house when they were infants, you know, through a lot of their lives, and now are having, you know, challenges.
Big implications.
Or probably did then, too. And we certainly don't want the unintended consequences to affect people who are around individuals.
Exactly. You see a lot of folks who, again, have never been smokers, but they have, you know, asthma, different forms of carcinoma, that sort of thing, because they were surrounded by secondhand smoke. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, I smoked around my kids at the time. I didn't know the health implications. Otherwise, maybe I wouldn't have done so. And so, again, with these new products, because we don't know all of the effects of them, we're just saying, you know, why don't we protect as we can, and then if it turns out that we don't need to have quite as heavy restrictions on them, then we can change it then, but let's be safe about it.
So that pretty much covers the why. Really, who needs to comply? I mean, what are we talking about here? We're obviously not talking about someone at home and their personal home, but we're really talking about our business environment.
We're talking about any establishment that's a workplace. So if you have employees, or even if you have a business and it's just you, that is still a business if you have patrons. And so we're talking all workplaces here. And a good way to really start to comply is just talking to your staff and say, hey, you know, there are these new regulations. I do want to comply. And how can we let our patrons also know that this is in effect? Because it's not just the staff, of course, that are within 10 feet of the building when they're doing these sorts of things.
Yeah.
So the other piece to that, of course, is we have new signage. Before, our signage said no smoking within 10 feet, and now includes vaping. And so anyone can get this signage off of the state website, which is healthoregon.org/morefreshair. It's also on the Indoor Clean Air Act release that's on the website.
I mean, does it say no smoking and vaping, or does it say something like no inhalants? Or
it says no smoking and vaping. Okay. Yeah, we don't want to put a bunch of heavy lingo in there. We just want to be really clear and concise, saying, you know, this is the law. We like to have it nice big letters for people, so they know that they can comply. And really, this first year, you know, you're not going to get hit really heavy if someone does happen to be out of compliance. We really think of this first year as an education year, and we know that most people do want to comply. And so we're happy to provide signage. You can get that through me or, again, through the state website, as well as frequently asked questions are on that site. So you can get a lot of technical assistance on how to comply. What does it look like to comply? You know, even if I don't have patrons or staff smoking within 10 feet, what if I have an ashtray within 10 feet?
Yeah.
And that would be a non-compliance. And so we can talk about how you can comply, what that looks like. I'm happy to come out to any site and talk to business owners and managers and tell them how.
So is signage required?
It is required.
Okay.
It is required. Again, this first year, we know it's been a while since we've changed this law, and so it's going to take some time for everyone to get their signage up. But it is required at all main entrances and exits.
I see. So, yeah, got a lot of signs we're going to have to switch out.
Yes.
And so there's a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
Really, folks should realize that it's just beginning.
Yep.
And any other things on compliance you want to note as we're... We've got about 3 minutes left. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, so in the past, you know, there have been phone numbers and websites that you can go to also put in complaints about compliance issues.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, you're a patron at an establishment, you're a staff member, or you're just a community member that happens to pass by and see someone out of compliance. And so you can, again, go to the state website, which is healthoregon.org/morefreshair. You could also call. There's a 1-800 number, which is also listed on that site. So you can do an online form or call. You could also call me, and I could file that complaint for you. And the compliance checks, I do want to stress this. It's not so we can come and get you. It's not so we can come and fine you. It's really a teachable moment. We come, you know, up to three times before we ever talk about any kind of citation. It's all about, you know, we know you want to comply. Here's how you can do it. And if I can be any help in the future, here's my contact information. Because we're all about helping people comply and teaching them why we're doing what we're doing and why it's important.
And good point, too, for maybe somebody who's a patron who feels kind of like guilty, like they don't want to be the whistleblower, but, you know, they really need to understand that it's for the benefit of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can call the number, and it's not like a huge heavy hand's going to come down.
Right, you're not tattling or anything. And it's really good for staff, too, who, I mean, they're in that environment 40 hours a week sometimes, if not more. And if they feel like they're being subjected to a lot of smoke or vapors, and it's not within, or it's, you know, within 10 feet of the building, and they feel uncomfortable maybe talking to management or that sort of thing, I'm happy to come down and say, oh, you know, I just wanted to make sure that everything's going well with the new Indoor Clean Air Act regulations, and can I kind of check out what's going on?
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, I think this has been very informative, Samantha. Maybe let's recap once again. If they're going to Health Oregon, what kind of icons are they looking for?
So they're looking, so when you first get to the page, it's going to simply say the Indoor Clean Air Act or Smoke-Free Workplace Law, because it's known by two different names. And you will see all different icons that you can click. They're all hyperlinked. So it'll be, you know, why are we doing this? Frequently asked questions about this.
Mm-hmm.
New regulations. So it'll just simply state what the actual law is. There's one that says file a complaint. So that's where you could do the complaint. It also gives a phone number. There's also an if you have more questions, and it gives an email address for this state. Or again, you can always call me. I can get all this information out to you as well.
And we can find you through Lincoln County's website, correct?
Through Lincoln County's website, yes.
All right. Well, fantastic. Samantha Schaefer, she's a health education specialist. She's also our tobacco prevention and education program coordinator. Thanks for coming on Connections.
Thanks for having me.